Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. I love doing this job. This is my favorite job, any job I've ever had, because I get to interview the most interesting people on the planet. So tonight, I have another really interesting guest, and this person is very, very dear to me. His name is Christopher Thiesing, and he is a counselor with the Small Business Development Center. And he's out of the New York office, basically, and he works with small businesses one-on-one, and he does it for free. It's one of those things that you can get for free. You can get business counseling through Christopher, through the Small Business Development Center for free. And I've taken advantage of this over a number of years. And Christopher, just be very transparent, is one of my business counselors. And I don't know what I would do without him. Christopher, welcome to the show. This is the first time you've ever been on.
That's correct. Greetings and salutations,
yes,
folks.
Yes, thank you.
Boy, that's quite the buildup. I appreciate that, Toni. But as we all know, those of us who do know you, if it wasn't for your entrepreneurial spirit, you certainly wouldn't be where you are today.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, it's not an easy person to be, especially in today's climate of the virus. I usually don't date these interviews, but I'm going to just be transparent once again and tell the audience that we're recording this during the global pandemic. And I felt it was apropos to have you on because you can speak to what a lot of people are going through in this very, very challenging business climate. And on top of that, I have to ask you, Christopher, how are you feeling?
As you may or may not know, I am recovering from COVID-19 as we speak. I'm in week 6, and I can happily report to you that myself, my wife, and both of my sons, that's 2 out of 5 children, did come down with it, and we're all recovering very nicely. Thank you.
Thank God for that, really. I'm really glad about that. And you can actually tell the audience that COVID-19 is real. You've experienced it firsthand. I know other people have, and I'm very grateful that you survived this because the planet would be really at a detriment without you on it, especially in the business world.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Toni. Yes, I can speak to that, and I can honestly say to you that I don't believe that I've ever been as sick as I have over the last 5 previous weeks. For 2.5 weeks, I was running a temperature 103, 104.
Wow.
My wife, Lisa, tough, tough Greek woman. She had it almost as bad, but her temperatures weren't nearly as severe or as long. And the boys, on the other hand, they, you know, in their 30s, they call them boys, but they're men, obviously. But
they're young men.
You know, 2-3 days, little low-grade fever, and they were back pretty much to fighting strength. However, I don't know why. I think it was just I had had a bout of pneumonia over the winter, and I was at the tail end of that when I picked this up. So I was, quite frankly, for the first time, I was actually very scared because I couldn't keep anything down, lost 20 pounds. I couldn't eat or drink, and I did wind up in the hospital because of it.
Wow. You went into the hospital for how long?
Oh, not for long. Because the pneumonia had basically been defeated, they turned me right around in short order and asked me to leave because they thought, geez, you might get others infected. So we don't want that here for long. So thank God the ambulance trip was interesting, of course, as always. But like I said, I am just grateful that I am recovering and I'm beginning to feel like myself again.
You certainly did not need to lose any weight.
Well, thank you. But 20 pounds. It brought me back to college weight.
Well, you know, it's always good to have a little cushioning to protect you against the rest of the world. That's the way I look at my situation. I just think it's interesting that you actually went through this, and so you can discuss it firsthand. And I'm very glad that you survived it. Now, what are business people, talking about your professional expertise, what can business people that are actually suffering from lack of sales, not even allowed to open? I mean, I looked down my block, which had a number of very good restaurants, and they're doing curbside pickup, but it's not a constant thing. It's once in a while I see someone waiting outside to pick up. What can someone do to reinvent their business through all this?
Obviously, there's going to be some businesses that just can't reinvent, if you will. But I think most of us are learning that through the internet, we can do an awful lot of different things that perhaps we had never explored before, either because we didn't have time or we didn't think it was the right mode to do business. But I think more importantly, for those who don't feel that they could, it being a service or a product, certainly if you have a product, you can open up a web store if you haven't done so already. You can rethink, how are you going to reach those individuals? Is it an SEO, you know, search engine optimization, or do you just need to get out there and begin to contact anybody and everybody, maybe buy a list? A lot of folks do that, or hire an influencer. And all of that can be done online today. But if you have a service, that's the tough one. For a long story short, we have to begin to think out of the box as human beings. If you're in business, obviously you have that entrepreneurial creative spirit. And in that spirit, a lot of folks have figured ways in which they can communicate with clients, current customers, and find new ways to reach out. I know, for instance, I am a college professor as well, and at nights I've been doing a Zoom meeting with the class just to view their work, to speak with them directly. And it's funny how the younger generation tries to avoid a lot of this. We're still trying to figure out like why that is. You know, they've got all of these tools at the tips of their fingers. But I think for the folks who are in business, who are creative enough, have figured out ways in which, for instance, my accountant, in fact, I'm sure they haven't suffered one iota, but in an effort to keep their clients, I get these weekly newsletters from them, which just started in COVID, with all of the updates. And they are wonderful, and they are succinct, and they are bulleted so that any layperson can understand. Like you had said from the beginning, how can we reinvent? Well, brainstorming with friends, family, colleagues, and find out exactly what it is your clients that you're selling to may need at that point in time. Now, there are certain businesses, and you had pointed out one, the garbage men. My garbage men, God bless them. I know that they've had some issues there, but they haven't missed a beat. So I think it depends on where you go, who do you speak to. But for instance, golf pro, there's not a whole lot of golfing going on right now.
There's no golfing going on right now.
But there is a gentleman in Peekskill right down by the water there. He's got a wonderful computerized system there. And I would think that in many ways, he could, if he wanted to, set up a camera and he'd be able to show individuals what they're doing, why they're doing it, why this club is better than the other. So I think it's more about customer relations, reaching out. Today, even when you go to the supermarket, everybody asks, oh, do you want to be put onto our mailing list? Let's say the baby boomers, in certain cases, have avoided giving that information out. And I think today it rings true as to why it's important, if you're in business, to collect that information. You are a customer, a valued customer, and I'd like to stay in touch, much like my accountant has done. So I think it's good organized practices like that that can help you to reinvent. We're going to be going back to work anytime soon. You know, give it 2 weeks, give it a month, whatever it may be. And I think the most important thing is to respect one another as citizens, begin to think in the big picture, wear the mask. There's nothing wrong with that. It's become a new normal for now.
It's become law.
Yeah.
Got to wear it.
Yes, if you're out in public. And I just wish that I had started to wear that 2 days before I actually was taken sick. And I was hopefully in that case, I wouldn't have infected my wife and the rest of the family. But unfortunately, I did. So that said, I think if we all think as a concerned citizen, and this is not about government control, it really isn't. This is about being responsible. Let's put it that way. We're being careful because we care about others. And I think that's what it all comes down to. Listen to your heart, do the right thing.
I think a lot of businesses, this is what I've heard from some other small businesses, they're reluctant, even if they did open the government. I spoke to somebody in Georgia today. And even though that governor is opening the government and opening up businesses, all these things, it's like in their household, they're going to maintain that whole hunkering down at home. You know, they're going to stay at home. They're not going to leave their house for a long time. And this is someone who's the head of household is a doctor of a huge medical practice servicing 15,000 people or more. They're not going to be opening up anything. So I think that you have to use your own particular common sense. In terms of businesses, what I've seen is that some businesses are taking particular pains to clean their places. I've seen a couple of businesses close, like the local grocery stores, two of them, which you could walk to them. You didn't have to take the car and go to the big store. They're closed because the owner died. So this is the risk that people are taking. And so I imagine there's a line you don't want to cross. They close the whole place down, which means that people in the neighborhood that don't drive and they depend on this particular store, like who really has to reinvent? You know, they have to take the bus, which they're saying don't get on the public bus. That's dangerous. For businesses, like what happens where the business owners or some of the employees have turned up ill, and then they have to shut down, clean the whole place up. But what about the real small businesses, like someone that might just be a sole proprietor that relies on taking appointments for clientele to come in to buy the merchandise, like an artist, for instance, or a jeweler? I mean, what can they do? And they have to have the wherewithal to do a website. Not everybody has the wherewithal to go online.
That's absolutely true. And as you know, there are a multitude of individuals out there capitalizing on that right now because they do know how to build a website. But a simple website can be done very easily on Google. Google offers that through the Google My Business. And once you sign up for that and they give you the thumbs up, which is relatively quick, once you fill in their application, they will provide you with a landing page, a couple of photographs on there, maybe a link over to a YouTube. You could shoot a quick video. YouTube has got a million different tutorials on how to set these things up, but it all depends on the content. If you just short, sweet, title the page, again, all the pertinent information, who, what, where, when, and why, and then maybe a few photographs, and it's very simply set up that way. And believe me, I'm no rocket scientist. If I can do it, anybody can, right? But the focus really needs to be on the aesthetics. You've got to think it through and then do, as they say, the beta launch, have others take a look at it and try not to be too egotistical. Allow people to give their input, certainly the ones that you respect, their artistic flavor, if you will, and make the subtle changes. As long as it's true to your needs and wants, then by all means, everybody's got, or almost everybody's got these smartphones today. You can easily record some of the things that you do, maybe even do a tutorial and say, hey, give me a call to find out what I may or may not have in stock. There are numerous ways in which we can reinvent. Now, there is this one client I was working with who's a jeweler. Phenomenal jeweler, but he has no clue about the internet. He made a purchase from one of his vendors. I guess it was a gold guy who was selling him raw gold. And they have this beautiful website with hundreds of photographs of different jewelry. And if he had spent some time, which unfortunately one man band, he didn't have enough time. But had he had spent that time and he could do that now while the business is closed, begin to build all of your clientele. As you take down their information, he was taking everybody's emails. Now's the time to spring it and say, guys, you know, hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. Don't miss out. 10% off COVID. Taking advantage of certain opportunities here. If you're having real difficulties, you can always go to the new EIDL program, EIDL.
EIDL, is that an acronym?
Yes, that's been provided through the Small Business Association. Of course, the government has let out the Big CARES Act. EIDL is a loan program which will lend up to $10
million. Wow.
For businesses, yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, just the SBA has been tasked with this, and we're here to help people through that process. But if for your listeners, I would say, if you're interested, certainly give us a call. We could help you with any of your questions or issues with that. But it depends on your bank. What I would do is the first call would be to your bank that your business is doing, you're checking through, or your savings for the business, that is. Find out if they are a participating member in this program, and then go to sba.gov, where you can sign on to the program by filling out the application. Now, for the PPL, it's great. I guess your credit score doesn't have to be perfect, which a lot of people get worried about. You don't have to sign a personal guarantee, which I don't know of any loan anywhere, even a small credit card for $500. You're signing personal guarantees.
Explain to the audience what PPL is, because a lot of people don't know this because they're not necessarily in business, but it might sort of tip the scales to help them decide to do something on their own.
The Paycheck Protection Program loan. And basically what that paycheck protection is, really up to $10,000. It's could be converted to a grant if 75% of the $10,000, $7,500, goes towards your operating costs as salaries to employees. In other words, you will keep an employee on. They'll give you $1,000 per employee. It's like a credit. And 25% of that $10,000 can be spent on things like rent or lease of equipment if necessary, things of that nature, keeping the lights on. But like I say, 75% of it mandated. And of course, you've got to keep these folks on for a minimum of, I think it's 2 months after you receive the check. So while it sounds awesome, and it is, I mean, it's the first of its kind. I know that there's been some issues with some of the banks and some of the processes in the beginning when they went out with the first batch. But my understanding is it should pass the House tonight, and hopefully will be available for small businesses come as early as this week. So
that'll be good news.
Exactly. And we're waiting at this point in time to see if there's going to be any changes from the Treasury Department, whether there's going to be any changes in the application process. But I've never seen, and I've worked through Sandy and some of the other programs that were out there. And I got to tell you, I guess it's based on, you know, bureaucracy is what it is. But Sandy, we just closed the books on that last year.
Wow.
You know, 6-7 years of fiddling around with all of those loans and grants. And it really got very bureaucratic in a way. I don't want to speak ill of the program, but we were learning. And the government, you know, well, we need this piece of paper, that piece of paper, the other piece of paper. This one, the SBA rolled it out, and it was 0.5% if it is to be treated as a loan. So never before has it ever been this low. And they've rolled it out. And of course, as you've heard on the news, they ran out of money. We ran out of money so fast. And so the second round, they're hoping that will help to stave off the wolves at the door.
They have something called the, and I think it's the EIDL.
And that stands for Economic Injury Disaster Loan.
So can small businesses, let's say, I mean, very small businesses, be entitled to that?
Yes, it is very complex. And look, there's a tremendous amount of information out there. And of course, they're doing more releases and press releases every day. So given that it is a fluid situation, can these things be tweaked? Yeah, I'm sure it will be. From what I understand, again, it's funny because I got this from a different source, but that's, again, up to $10 million. Very low interest rate. There's no bank fees, or the bank fees are paid by the SBA, because I think that was one of the issues in the early stages of the part one was that the banks were not exactly interested in loaning money out for 1.5%, 5%, whatever it was. They're just, what's in it for us, they were asking, right?
That's more than they give in interest if you put money in their bank. Kind of ironic, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can imagine that there are some businesses that had aspirations for certain revenue and had plans in place. Then this pandemic happens, they apply for these particular programs, and they end up being more successful than ever.
We've seen that too, because it forces their hand, like I said earlier, to think outside the box and perhaps to open up an online store and to really pay attention to their database and their clientele. And that's the wonderful part about being an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs, 9 times out of 10, know how to make money. It's just a question of logistics. What is it that I need to do to make it happen? In talking with others and folks like yourself, you begin to think outside that box and you say, well, what do you think of this idea? And look, well, it's been said by a number of geniuses, it wasn't the 1,000 times I failed, it was the one time I got it right.
I know that you know this is true of many people. A lot of things you might have been apprehensive to do, I want to say afraid to do. And you're put in a position where you have to do it because you have to close the door on a certain part of your business because it's just not going to fly.
TQ, that's a great way of putting it.
Yeah, because if you're giving parties to sell and promote your work, I know there's one particular businesswoman that I would aspire to do the kind of business she does. And she has huge gatherings where a lot of people show up to this. There's no way she can do that now. I wonder what she's doing. Or someone like me that has I have big gatherings, but there's smaller gatherings. And I can't do those either. I can't even have anybody in here to just stop by and buy. I can't have a client come in and take a look because that's the way the rules are written right now.
Right.
But there are things that you're forced to do online. Assess your skills. If you're used to being on camera, maybe you're going to go on camera and teach a Skype class.
Exactly.
Package yourself.
I think hardest hit has been the food service and the small bodegas and things like that. But however, there's a small bodega down by me here. And he opens, he said, you know, people have been wonderful, Chris. He said, I haven't had one issue. He says, although I have curtailed my hours, and yes, I had to temporarily lay off a couple of part-time employees. He said, I come in early, I cook the food, I get everything ready, little deli bodega. And he says, one at a time, people come in with their masks on. He's wearing a mask, gloves, the whole nine. And he's serviceable. He said, people have been very patient, very accepting of what we call the new norm. He is adapting. My own daughter, who is expecting in June,
congratulations.
I'll be a grandfather for the first time. And they had the shower planned for this Saturday. They were planning on this big to-do, you know, 75 women all in, but they've had to cancel that. So my wife came up with the idea, shot it past a few of the other ladies, and decided, well, they'll do a drive-by.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, so they're going to leave the gift out front of the house or whatever, beep the horn, you know, throw a sign, whatever they're going to do, I don't know. But
it's got to be very scary for your daughter being pregnant.
Yes, and she, thank God, has got a job that's allowed her to work from the house. And even her boss was so good about it. She said, no, to my daughter, stay home. Will adapt, and they gave her the computer. She's been doing her work from home ever since. And at this point, they don't think they'll even have her come back to work until after the baby is born. So this is all good stuff. And I think that's part of being human, is just empathize, understand what the situations are, as in that case. And my boss has been terrific, Tom, and has allowed me to come back in a part-time basis. He understands, he gets it. So given the fact that our clients' schedules are varied, we need to be as flexible as possible. And of course, we're constantly learning. For instance, all week long, we've had these Shopify tutorials, how to build your Shopify stores.
I just want you to know I did take one of those tutorials this week.
Yeah, it was excellent. And like it was saying, you know, aesthetics, make sure they're clean, crisp photographs, make sure you're showing the product and not just these wide out of focus type of photographs. So, but, you know, in working with a number of different industries, we've got to remain flexible. And like I say, thank God, my boss has understood, has worked with me and has allowed me to work from home. He is going into the office as an essential worker. And that's wonderful. But at this point in time, he's asked all of his staff to work from their home office. And that's what we've been doing.
Do you find that there's a psychographic here emerging? Because I kind of see the situation as becoming more normal. I believe that we'll be working at home more than normal.
I agree. And I think, as you put it earlier, there's a paradigm shift afoot.
I actually prefer this personally. Working from home, I see this being the new normal, but I think it's going to be ongoing. I think that more people will be working at home than not. Do you see this?
I concur. I think the paradigm shift has started. It's here. I think more and more people realize it for what it is. And I just hope that other businesses and companies can work and continue to bring these individuals back instead of 1099-ing them as independent contractors.
Because then they don't have to give out any benefits if they do that. And I'll say that as a small business, if you don't have to pay benefits, it's easier on you financially. I don't have an opinion on it, frankly, but it's just an observation. I think, though, that as I'm looking at things that are going on just right here on Main Street, USA, Main Street, Peekskill, New York, there's some anxiety that's created when you're looking out your window and you see these viable businesses and you know, droves of people, or just like it's a flow of customers walking back and forth in and out of places, and you no longer see that. And then when it becomes like 8 p.m., sun goes down, there usually would be lights on in these businesses because there's something going on, but instead it's dark. It's very dark. And that in itself, I had kind of half joked saying to friends, yeah, you know, you go outside just to catch a breath of air and you look down the block and you expect to see the tumbleweed and the dust ball come around the corner at any moment. I mean, this is reality.
And this too will change. But I hope that, you know, as citizens, as human beings, we also recognize the good. As a wannabe scientist, of course, I look across the nation, I look across the globe, and I say, yeah, but look at all of the pollution that has been stopped. I heard the other day that the vibration of the earth, you know, Lamont Doherty is no longer registering these high vibrations caused by human activity. Now, of course, that's going to return, but this has given our Mother Earth a chance to heal in certain ways.
It's true.
I feed the birds, for instance. That's one of my hobbies. And I can't begin to tell you the cacophony at 5:30 in the morning. It's wonderful.
I know. I hear it in the middle of Peekskill on Main Street in the morning. It's amazing. Before any traffic happens and there's minimal traffic, it's like you hear like, what's that noise? What's that noise? Oh, it's birds singing. What the heck is that noise? The morning
right.
Dove. I welcome it. I really do. I think, though, that people are going to need you a lot more than ever now because of this situation. If you could just repeat how someone can get in touch with the Small Business Development Center and how they can get in touch with you.
Our regional office here in the Hudson Valley for Rockland, Westchester, and Putnam. Our number here is 845-356-6065. Again, 845-356-6065. If you need or would prefer email, it's C as in Christopher, Thiessing, and it's T as in Tom, H as in Henry, I, E as in Eskimo, S as in Sam, I, N as in Nancy, at SUNY Rockland, that's SUNY, RockLand, .edu.
That's great. And I think you're going to be hearing from people. At least I hope so. There's no reason to give up on your business because of this.
No. And certainly we can register. All of our clients get registered. I know you mentioned it earlier, but not only is all of our services free, but it is confidential because we're discussing people's financials and we needed to have that as an act of Congress. And certainly it's been challenged a couple of times and never, ever has it been able to be cracked. So rest assured. But that said, we help the clients to get on to what we call bid links. And that's a system where through electronic emails, you'll be able to get the latest bids, RFQs and RFPs, requests for quotes and requests for proposals from various government agencies and entities around the country, depending on what it is you want to do, be it a service or a product. And it'll give you a chance to take a look, see what the government is buying and what they're buying it for. In other words, how much?
And I'll tell the audience that you do work with chambers of commerce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very closely with a lot of chambers.
Here in Peekskill, you work very closely with the Hudson Valley Chamber of Commerce.
Gateway, yes, we do. And I got to be frank with you, bar none, they are one of the most organized and very well educated, and they work very hard for all of their members and all of Peekskill.
Yes, run by a woman, by the way. I just have to throw that in there. She's the president.
Deb Malone is a very, very sharp individual.
She's a very, very knowledgeable and a very positive and supportive individual. I think that it's beautiful that you're working with her. And I'm going to thank you again because you're going to have to come back.
Of course.
Because you know me, the SBA people used to call me, instead of Quest, they called me Pest. And I am
no,
a pest.
No,
I'm going to, you weren't one of them. I'm going to pester you to come back on because I have to say it's very challenging. And I'll be candid. I get panic attacks over this. Because this, you know, my business was doing very well up until this.
TQ, not to worry, you're not alone, but rest assured, have the faith. We will get through this. In hindsight, it's going to be, wow, you know, we wasted all of that energy in worrying about things that just never happened. I do feel, and I keep praying for those individuals who have lost loved ones, most importantly of all, and certainly the businesses that were struggling that have had to give up, plain and simple. My heart goes out to them. And look, if anybody should ever need any help at any time, don't hesitate to call. The least we can do is do some brainstorming and figure it out. And if you want, I can forward to you, you know, a number of different links.
Please do.
Sure. So that people can get on and fill out their applications for either EIDL or the PPP program. I would be more than happy, more than willing to do that for you. So as they say, to be continued.
To be continued. And I want to just offer my condolences to anybody who has lost somebody to this horrible, horrible pandemic. Thing that's coming to mind is I'm offering my condolences to the family of the owner of Seatown and Save a Lot, who passed away from this and had to close the stores. But my condolences go out to their family and to the families of anybody else who has lost a loved one to this particular and this horrible pandemic. But for now, I'm going to thank you so much, Christopher Thiessing from the Small Business Development Center, for giving us such a wonderful plethora of information about this particular situation and also about how to manage this through your small business. So I'll say goodnight. Thanks, Christopher. I'm so glad you're better. I'm so glad you're
family. Thank you, TQ. We appreciate the opportunity.
The pleasure is all mine, and I thank you. My well wishes to your family, and I'm very glad that your family is well and healthy. And till next time, everybody that comes and listens to the Energy Stoners Cafe, I love all of you for coming to listen, and I'll say goodbye until the next time. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.